Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website. Thank you for gathering with us this morning around the Word of God. Do we need more sermons today? Not just sermons. We need a sermon from the Word of God. We need a message from the Word of God. And we need a messenger that is keenly aware of the times that we are living in light of the soon coming of Christ, in light of the sure and hastening coming of the day of the Lord, the great tribulation, and the second coming of Christ. Listen, friend of mine, we don't need a message that lures us into spiritual slumber. We definitely need a wake-up call from God. Amen. And we need it from the Word of God. We need something to stir us like we have never been stirred. Every true revival has been called a spiritual awakening. That's why we've entitled our message for this Sunday morning, Discerning the Times. Discerning the times. It is continuing the thought, in a sense, of the message that we began to teach and preach on our Wednesday Bible study. Now, you know me well enough, if you listen to our teachings and our preachings, that I'm a pastor / evangelist. And there's going to be some preaching in the teaching, some teaching in the preaching. Because if there's not some teaching in the preaching, then I'm just inspiring you and not instructing you. And we need holy instructions from the Word of God today. Amen. Listen carefully as we get into this message today in Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. Listen to it carefully. Romans chapter 13, 11 through 14. Listen to it. It says, and knowing the time. You see, discerning the times and knowing the time, that it is now time, high time, to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Listen, do we really know? Underscore knowing the time, discerning the times, you see. Do we really know? Do we really grasp the fact that time is running out for this old world as we know it? The day of man is about to give way to the day of the Lord. This knowledge, knowing the time, should stimulate us as believers, as true Christians, to drawing close to God instead of drifting away with the wicked world. They are oblivious to the shortness of time, the nearness of the coming of Jesus for His bride. You know, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that scoffers will come in the last day walking in their own lust, saying, where is the sign of His coming? But of this, they are willingly ignorant. You see, they don't want to face this fact, hear this fact, and they're trying to discredit it. They're trying to absolutely put out this knowledge that we have and we hold dear to us, that causes us and motivates us, just like Noah, moved by fear of the judgment to come, by faith built an ark to the saving of himself and his household. Do we understand today that we need to be motivated, stimulated by the knowledge we have from the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit and by all of the prophecies that we see literally being fulfilled before our eyes today that mark our time, our day, as the last of the last days. Amen. Listen, they are oblivious to the shortness of the time. Jesus said they're willingly ignorant, or the scriptures rather teach that they are willingly ignorant. But of this they are willingly ignorant. A day is 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years as one day. Listen, but God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. Jesus is coming soon. The signs of the time, a song we used to sing, are everywhere. There's a brand new spirit in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Hallelujah. For our redemption is drawing nigh. We sang that 2 or 3 decades ago, and we were living, I believe, more in the light of the soon coming of Jesus than we are now. Crept into the church as an earthbound message, where we actually do envy the people of the world, and we want to be like them in terms of opulence and terms of riches beyond our wildest dreams or needs. Godliness with contentment, knowing that what we know about the passing of this world and the passing of the riches of the world and the shortness of life and the sureness of death and the sureness of the judgment to come should cause us to live our life instead of envying the world and wanting to be more like them, instead of wanting to be more like Him, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and in particular, a longing for His soon return and living in the light of that. Listen, they are oblivious to the shortness of time, the nearness of the coming of Jesus for His bride, the hastening of the great tribulation, the critical need, therefore, to be right with God and to be walking with God. And living our life then as Christians, we need to be living with hope and holiness in this day, not in despair and discouragement because of helplessness. As the scripture said, without hope and without God in the world. This blessed hope of the soon coming of Jesus should cause us to shine as a light in an ever-darkening world. What a time to shine the hope of the gospel, to shine the glory of the offer of salvation and safety and security instead of all that is coming and men's hearts failing them for fear, looking at the things which are coming. We're getting a preview of the great tribulation right now. We see it coming. We see it evolving. We see it like a stage being set, and the curtain and the orchestra tuning up, and the stage hands putting all of the pieces in place that are going to be in place when the curtain goes up and the play begins. The curtain, dear friend, is about to go up. And all of the things that are going to occur in sequence once the tribulation begins are just about to begin to happen. And it will run concurrently until the second coming of Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation. But we're not talking about the second coming alone. We're talking about the secret coming that precedes the tribulation. For as a Christian, the scriptures are clear. We are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. But to obtain salvation. Praise God. And one thing is certain. The tribulation is the wrath of the Lamb. It's the wrath of God, of course, but it is also the judgment of Jesus. for he's not coming back in that coming to save the world as he came in his first coming, the first advent. He's not coming to lay in a manger. He's not coming to give his life on a cross and suffer and die. He's coming back to rule. He's coming back to reign. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that the great men, the small men, the rich men, the poor men, in other words, all of humankind shall call upon when he comes, and when God comes to judge and Jesus comes as judge, executing the judgment or the wrath of God, the righteous anger, the justifiable anger of God against sin and wickedness, and above all, against rejecting the offer of salvation, rejecting that cost so much to give us his only begotten Son, and the Son that gave his life upon the cross. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as this? And they will cry to the rocks and the mountains, fall upon us. They would rather be crushed by the rocks of the mountains, a rock slide that would cover them, conceal them, hide them from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? That this Lamb, that as a lamb before his shearers in Pilate's hall, when all of the accusations were made and the cry for his death, listen, the wrath of the Lamb to hide themselves from the face of him that sits upon the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. Oh, dear friend of mine, we do not want to be here during that time of judgment, for they will not be able to escape the wrath to come. We have been forewarned. We have been given extraordinary revelation from the Word of God that we might know the time that we are living and respond to it by not getting caught up so much in the things of this world that we are not living in a state of readiness for his return and in a longing for his soon return. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. There are three ways that we need to be reacting to this knowledge. Number one, we need to wake up and knowing the time, verse 11, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I like the Amplified. It says, beside this, you know what a critical hour this is, how it is high time now for you to wake up out of your sleep, rouse to reality. For salvation, final deliverance, is nearer to us now than when we first believed, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on Christ the Messiah. Friend, in light of the fact that the coming of the Lord is near, we need a spiritual awakening, a true revival in our personal lives, in the true church. Listen, we need to be rousted from slumber. Listen, Ephesians 5:14-18. Listen to it carefully. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead. That's revival. Praise God. And Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means watchful on all sides. Watch and pray. Watch and pray is the watchword for today. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, using what time we have wisely, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. See, this is discernment, discerning the times, and it is crucial to our victory. Verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Listen, this drunkenness here. Certainly, it involves alcohol. And I'm going to tell you right now, you social drinkers, I want you to be cautioned. I want you to be careful. The Apostle Paul put it this way. Yes, we're under grace. No, we're not under law. But listen to what Paul said. All things, because of the grace of God, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient for me, not good for me. The serious Christian, living in light of the soon coming of Jesus, living in the reality of the last days when the falling away will begin. It'll come to its apex during the tribulation, but we're seeing the beginning of sorrows now. That day won't come until there come a falling away first. God wants to send a revival in the midst of the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of the falling away, that instead of being caught up in the undercurrent, the riptide of wickedness pulling us away from God, putting us more focused upon this world as it is instead of the world to come. We need to be living diametrically different based on the knowledge that we have. This is not a time to drift away from God. This is not a time to compromise our convictions. This is not a time to cause weak Christians to stumble because they are looking to us as an example. Listen, I'm not going to be in a bar celebrating. I'm not going to be anywhere drinking champagne or wine at a dinner. Why? Because somebody that's recently come to Christ say it's all right for him. Not just because I'm a preacher, but because I'm a Christian. If it's all right for him, it's all right for me. The difference is I would not probably become addicted to it like my son did after allowing a few drinks, compromising what he knew was not in his best interest and not that he had ever saw his dad or his mother or people he knew. Listen, but he got with those that were living in compromise and he went along with it. They didn't all become alcoholics. They were social drinkers, but it grabbed him and it pulled him away from God and it pulled him into a world of sin and wickedness. Not that he was a bad person. He never was a bad person. If you ever met him, he was a kind and sensitive and I call loving guy. Not just because he was my son, but what this alcoholism did to him. And he wasn't, at the end, he wasn't a drinker out in the bars and carousing. He wasn't a social drinker, but he was addicted to it, and he couldn't live a day without drinking. He functioned enough to work a job 8 hours, but when he got home, he had to drink himself into a sleep because he couldn't find the peace of mind to go to sleep without the alcohol. I call this a spirit of addiction. This is not just a chemical thing. This is not a sickness, an organic sickness as some call it. This is a spirit of addiction. Speaking of Babylon in the book of Revelation, neither repented her of her sorceries. And we think of all kinds of witchcraft and the occult. But the actual word that was used was pharmakos, and it's the word that we get pharmacy from. They're good drugs that help us, and I believe this good knowledge has come from God. But there are also drugs that will grab a hold of us and not want to let us go. I believe this opens us up to spirits that would try to control us, seek to control us. And you know anyone who has been an alcoholic or who is an alcoholic, you can't play with these spirits by drinking ourselves into a stupor, using drink to find peace instead of finding it in the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Oh, friend of mine, knowing the time, it is time to wake up to this reality today. And not only to wake up, but to clean up. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife, nor in envying. Let us conduct ourselves honorably, becomingly, in the light, open light of day, not in reveling, carousing, drunkenness, not in immorality and debauchery, sensuality and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. A child is said to have asked his dad what a Christian is. His father patiently tried to explain it to him. And when he finished, the child asked, "Have we ever seen one?" My Bible tells me they were first called Christians at Antioch. They didn't coin that phrase. They didn't take that name to themselves. They earned that title by being true followers of Jesus Christ. In the authentic Christian life, we hold Jesus as precious and the kingdom of God as our highest goal. Hallelujah. Listen, in Luke 21, 34 through 36, Jesus warned. He warned about a different kind of drunkenness than alcohol or alcoholism or drug abuse. He talked about the cares of this life. He said, beware. He put us on high alert about this. Beware lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that day come upon you as a thief, for as a snare it shall come upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Like a trap, it's going to surprise them and overtake them, and there's no escaping this judgment to come. Let me read it from the Amplified. But take heed to yourself, and be on guard, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed, weighed down with the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life. And lest that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. For it shall come upon all who live on the face of the entire earth. Keep awake, you see, wake up. Keep awake and watch at all times. Be discreet, attentive, and ready, praying that you may have the full strength and ability to be accounted worthy to escape all these things taken together that will take place and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. We need to wake up. And dear friend of mine, I believe you'll agree with me, we need to clean up. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things," you see, we understand, we know what is coming, and we know who is coming. That is our hope. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." I'm going to read this from the Amplified as we close this message this Sunday morning. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief. Then the heavens will vanish with a mighty and thunderous roar. and the material elements will be destroyed with intense heat. We may interpret part of this. Surely this is supernatural judgment and cleansing of the earth, that we're going to have a new heaven, new earth, where we will live with Christ forever. The heavenly New Jerusalem coming down to the earth. Praise God, the holy city sitting here upon the earth. So if you're looking to live up there somewhere forever, you need to read the rest of the book. I saw the New Jerusalem, John said in the book of Revelation, coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for a groom. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to this. This material elements destroyed with intense heat. That is what happens in nuclear fission when it occurs. Literally, atoms, invisible to the naked eye, but being split and a nucleus escaping, and this chain reaction creating this devastation like the world could not imagine, could not possibly imagine. What we have today in the nuclear arsenals around the world, and they are being stockpiled for a war to come in a nuclear exchange of many nations. Friend of mine, this is a terrifying fact that we're living in the light of in the physical world, let alone the sure supernatural judgment to come during the day of the Lord. Listen. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, then the heavens will vanish with a mighty thunderous roar, and the material elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and the works that are on it will be burned up. The first judgment of the earth, the entire earth, with only Noah building the ark, moved by fear, by faith, built an ark, Hebrews tells us, to the saving of himself and his household. Jesus is our ark. Praise God, it's time to get in the ark, my brother and my sister, because soon the door will be shut. As sure as God shut the door and judgment fell, now it is reserved. It is reserved unto a judgment of fire, not water. The first was water, the flood. This one is of fire, and it is soon to come. Verse 11 says, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? In the meantime, written to Christians, in holy behavior, that is, in a pattern of daily life that sets you apart as a believer, and in godliness, displaying profound reverence toward our awesome God, while you earnestly look for and await the coming of the day of God. For on this day, the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the material elements will melt with intense heat. But in accordance with His promise, we expectantly await a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Oh, dear friend of mine, is this such a time to go after gold and silver? Is this such a time to envy the wicked? I used to sing the song before I preached. I remember going to a little church in Polk City years and years and years ago. And my dad brought his fiddle, and I had a little small silver tone Sears Roebuck amplifier. I mean, it was tiny. And I hooked a little mic into it to preach. And I remember preaching in that little church. But before I preached, I sang a song, "Pity the Man, Pity the Man That Has All This Earth, That Holds the Riches of the World, And Knows Not the Pearl of Great Price." I guess we should pity the man that has the earth for his bed, the homeless that are sleeping upon the earth. But the real person to be pitied, if that man knows Christ, number one, God will get him off the street, make a way for him, but certainly not make him dependent and looking to the riches of the world. The richest man in the world without Jesus is the poorest of the poor. and poorer than we could imagine, because he's without hope and without God in the world. Dear friend of mine, we do not need to be envying him. We need to be living with a contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing in. We can't take anything out, because we're not going to need anything where we are going. Praise God. Amen. The streets are going to be made of gold, the gates of pearl, and the foundations, hallelujah, of precious stones. But it is not the city. It is not the city. It is the Savior that we're longing for. It's our loved ones that have preceded us to heaven that's going to make it home for us. Praise God. We need to pity those that don't know Christ today. Not envy them. Not emulate them. Not live with the same values that they are living with. Ever getting and never having enough. But godliness with contentment is great gain. He has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. This is the true riches of having a reconciled relationship with God, having him for us, having him with us, and having him coming back to take us home, whether we live or whether we've been buried. When the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ are going to rise. We which are living and remain, going to be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We are not like others who have no hope. And he that has this hope, the scripture says, purifieth himself. We live differently because we know what we know, and we know who we know. Hallelujah. Oh, today, dear friend, this is no time to go after gold and apparel. God will provide for you. God will bless you abundantly. But he doesn't want you like the man who has all of this world, but he doesn't have the pearl of great price. For the kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price. When a man discovers it, when he finds it, he sells all that he has that he might obtain it. Oh, friend, it's like a treasure hid in a field. And when a man discovers it, he sells all that he has and buys the field that he might have the treasure. And our treasure is laid up in heaven. Hallelujah. And that's where our heart should be today. For our heart will follow our treasure. Make sure you're not laying up treasure on a world that is about to change as radically as it is about to change. Oh, get in the kingdom of God. Get the kingdom of God in you. Get the King of Glory in your life, Jesus Christ. Dear Christian, today, this is a wake-up call. This is a wake-up call. And I pray that we will arouse from spiritual slumber, that there will be a great shaking, a quaking, a spiritual awakening, a revival in these last and closing hours of human history, in these last times. For surely Jesus is coming soon, and the day of the Lord hasteneth greatly. Now is the time. This is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time, and we must work while it is day, redeeming the time. For the night cometh when no man can work. Dear friend of mine, if you don't know Jesus today, and maybe you haven't even heard judgment is coming, the judge is coming. Dear friend of mine, you don't want to be here during the tribulation. You want to be safe. You want to be secure in Christ. Don't run from him. Don't close your eyes to the truth of this. Look around. Are we not living in the times that the Bible talks about, just preceding the coming of Jesus and the day of the Lord? Open your eyes to the reality of it. And moved by fear, run to the ark of safety. Run to Jesus. Don't run from Him. Come to Christ. Repent of your sin. Receive Him as your sovereign and your Savior, your Lord and Savior. Be reconciled to God. Be sealed with the Holy Spirit. And be safe from the wrath to come. There's no hope like this. There's no help like this. Ah, friend, if you do know the Lord today, let's begin to live close to Him. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, but much more as you see the day approaching, exhorting one another, encouraging one another to keep on keeping the faith till He comes.